Herb, are you there? Herb Weisbaum, my man.
My middle name.
Herb Weisbaum is the consumer man. He is an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster. He's been at it for over 40 years. He's covered the consumer beat for CBS, NBC, and The Today Show, amongst others. Contributing editor at checkbook.org, which is, of course, a nonprofit organization.
Yep.
He hosts the Consumerpedia podcast. And, what a coincidence, this is National Consumer Protection Week.
Yay!
And we have the State of the Union. So, Herb, what is the state of the American consumer?
By the way, this is my favorite week of the year. But what? Around my place, it's always Consumer Protection Week.
Oh, right. Of course.
And yes, and I bet Biden talks about junk fees. I guarantee you that's one of the things he's going to talk about tonight.
Okay.
Absolutely, because he's been really harping on that. It's terrible. There's more scams than ever before, and you got to be really careful. The con artists are getting more and more clever with what they're doing, and the marketers are getting more devious in their misleading tactics. And it's a mess out there, and you got to really be smart and careful and on your guard all the time. And so this is a week to remind people to do that.
How many different types of scams are there? I mean, scam, we all know what basically what the word means. But how many different scam approaches to a consumer are there?
Probably so to speak? Endless. But what endless. But I think it's important is to know how to judge them. Okay. So if the caller's trying to scare you or rush you, you know, if you're going to be arrested, if you don't give me this money right now, we're going to shut your utilities off right away. If you don't pay this money, give me gift cards. If they're trying to do something like that, that's a sign of a scam. If they're trying to get your personal information for no reason whatsoever, you know, I'm going to fix your computer. Oh, by the way, how about giving me your social security number or whatever? They don't need that to fix your computer. They're trying to get you to pay money and really pressing you to pay money. And maybe they want you to do it in a way that doesn't make any sense. Like you owe the IRS money, but you're going to pay us in gift cards from iTunes, the IRS or Sephora. The IRS doesn't, first of all, call you, and the IRS doesn't take gift cards, and the IRS certainly doesn't take Sephora or iTunes gift cards. So you have to realize that. And then the final one, which really costs people a lot of money, is they try to get you to move money. So they're calling from the bank or the credit card company. There's been a major fraud in your account, and we want you, Mr. Landecker, to help us catch the bad guy. So what we need you to do is move this hunk of money to this account to protect your money, and then we're going to watch the rest of your account, and we're going to catch the bad guy, and then you can feel really good because we're going to arrest this guy. What they're, of course, doing is having you move all your money to their account, and then they're going to keep all your money. And it sounds good when they're telling it to you, but in hindsight, you've just given the bad guys all of your money. Finally, you get a call, a text, or an email from a government agency that doesn't do that. Most government agencies don't call, text, or email. The IRS doesn't do that on first contact. They send you a letter. Social Security doesn't do that. They send you a letter. Medicare doesn't do that. They send you a letter. So if somebody's calling you saying, hi, I'm calling from the IRS and we're going to come and arrest you, hang up the phone. If somebody's calling you, I'm from Medicare or Social Security, something's happened to your account and I need to get your information, hang up the phone. Same thing if you get a text that says that or an email that says that. That's a scam because the government agencies don't do that.
How do they select the victim?
Is it random?
Random?
No, there's actually two ways. Some of them are random. They're just automatic dialers. Like if it starts with a robocall, it's just a series of numbers and they call out and see who responds. But in many cases, they use what's called sucker lists. And I've actually seen these sucker lists at the U.S. Postal Inspection Service's headquarters here in Seattle. If you fall for a scam, they write down what kind of scam you fell for, how much you were willing to pay. They sell these sucker lists to other con artists, and that con artist then can say, okay, Weisbaum gave me $100 for a prize scam. Maybe I can hit him up with a prize scam again. You know, you've won a prize, you just have to pay money to get your prize, which is an obvious sign of a scam. Let's hit him up for $150 this time. So they have some information on you to start working you over and maybe do a better job. So the suckers lists are something that's truly out there and helps these bad guys.
But the sucker list says that these people have already been scammed once.
Correct.
Why would they be open to a second scam? Didn't they learn their lesson?
These guys are good. Number one, they can sweet talk you. There's actually one where they use the sucker list and tell you they're calling from a government agency or some kind of organization that realizes you've been taken and they're going to try to get you your money back. And all you have to do is give them more money and they'll get you your money back. And again, at the time, it sounds good. You got to remember, when we talk about this stuff, it sounds silly. It sounds ridiculous. When you get a call out of the blue from somebody who knows exactly what to say, get you in the middle of dinner, get you in the middle of listening to the Landecker show, whatever it is, you're interrupted. You're not using the thinking part of your brain. They're getting you to use the emotional part of your brain. Well, you're going to be arrested. Yeah. You just want a lot of money. We're going to shut off your credit card account. We're going to shut off your utility. You don't use the thinking part of your brain. You use the emotional response part of your brain. You want to get this problem taken care of right away. And in many cases, you do what they want you to do. You've got to sit down, take a breath, hang up the phone and figure it out. And if it's really a problem, call the IRS, call Social Security, call Medicare, call your utility company, call your credit card company. You don't have to do anything right away. That's how they get you. They push that button to get you to do it right away.
Is there something that you can do that would totally eliminate you being approached by scammers?
You can move into a cave.
Okay. Well, you answered it.
If you get mail, if you get email, if you get text messages, if you get phone calls, you are going to be approached some type or another by a scammer. And you've just got to be smart enough to recognize these things and not let it happen to you.
The thing that I always, one of the things that I have remembered from our times together on the air previously, and there are just some great things that you pointed out, is that this would be an email, for instance. If you get something that looks like an official email from an actual company and they've got the logo and the colors and everything is right and they want this or that, look up and see where the email originated. And I've done that. I can't tell you how many times I've done that, Herb. And there are some really bizarre emails that these scams are coming from, and it seems they don't think that people are going to check where this originated. Because
that's right. We just go to the message.
Yeah.
We jump down to the message. Now, that's not always the case. They have some that can look very much like what's a real government agency or something. You know, they can misspell Medicare and put an L instead of an I or whatever. But yes, that's the first thing I look at. And if it's supposedly something from Social Security and it's from BobJonesDentistryForKids.com, you know that they hack somebody else's email and they're using that email to send out their spam messages with. So that's a good place to start. Absolutely.
Yeah. I've seen some very creative, well, I don't know if they're creative, but they certainly original emails from where the message is originating that have absolutely nothing to do with the content or the company that's the subject of it.
Because usually they hack somebody's email.
Yeah, you would think that if you got an official email from a company that the return email, the where it originated would be, you know, have the name of the company in that email.
Right.
It wouldn't be some sort of arbitrary jumble of letters.org or something.
Right.
See what we learn here during Consumer Protection Week from Herb Weisbaum. Yes, that's right. The Consumer Man. And we'll do more. We're going to do it the entire hour, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
As we lead into the State of the Union. Okay, so we did. Are we done with scamming?
Yeah, we're going to be a smart shopper next.
Oh, good. We're talking about shopping around. See how that musical transition worked there?
Smokey, yes, sir.
Smokey, baby. You're Smokey Robinson. 723, 720 WGN. John Landecker, consumer advocate and general all-around person to know when you need consumer protection advice. Herb Weisbaum with us. And we have reached the point where we are going to talk about shopping around or comparison shopping. Would that be correct?
Yes, Smokey's mom was right. You really do have to shop around. And there's no question about that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you have to go to a go-go, but you certainly have to shop around.
Go-go.
See, I was an old disc jockey,
Listen
too.
Listen to well, you. A go-go? My goodness. Yeah, I'm ready for Carol Doda to come out.
Smokey Joe Robinson. Anyway, I digest. I digress. You absolutely. Checkbook has been price comparison. Checkbook.org price comparison for 45, 50 years now, and we find with everything, whether it's a service or a product or whatever, if you shop around, that's how you're going to know if you're going to get the best price for your money. And when it comes to services, the highest price is not always going to give you better service than a good company that does reasonable price work. But yeah, for merchandise, there's no way to know if you're getting a good price unless you shop around. Now, in some cases with the big retailers, for certain things, they have the price cap things. So for appliances and stuff, it may not vary that much. But if you go to a little independent dealer, they may not be in the same constraints as the big guys, the box stores. I buy my appliances from a little store down the street, and I always get a great price for that and wonderful service. If you're shopping for credit cards, we just talked about that recently because the CFPB came out with their list of credit cards, 10% interest difference for the same credit score, whether you get a big bank or a little bank or a credit union. That's a big difference. Auto insurance. Don't assume that every auto insurance company charges the same price. They don't. By shopping around every couple of years, you could save $500 to $1,000. If you have a kid, maybe $1,500 if the kid's on the policy. You've got to take the time to shop around, and the internet makes it real easy, although you got to remember that in some cases, they're going to steer you to things if it's paid to play. Some of these sites that recommend things are pay to play. Checkbook is a nonprofit. We don't get any money from anybody. We tell you who we like and who we don't like. But some of these sites that rank things do get some money in order to tell you where to go, and that can be a problem.
The one word that pops into my mind when you talk about shopping around has to do with the individual, and that would be some of us are more impatient than others. Mm-hmm. And it would seem that if you're really going to do your due diligence in shopping around, you have to be ready to be patient, because you might not get an immediate answer. Is that right?
Yeah, but it doesn't take all that much. I mean, go to a website like Google Shopping or some of these companies. Yeah. If you go to Kayak, which is a travel aggregator site, if you're looking for airfare, you can find out the various prices from different airlines or different retailers, you know, within a matter of seconds. It's really not that difficult to do. And one of our editors, and she's like, her mama taught her never to pay retail, and she doesn't. She's in a store and she does what's called showrooming. If she sees something there and just says, I don't think this is a really good price, she'll just go on Google on the phone and find it at a better price and buy it somewhere else, or say, will you match this price?
Yeah,
some stores will do that, not everybody, but she just doesn't pay full retail anymore for stuff. She really does bargain and shop around. And Consumer Reports has consistently found that people who try to negotiate get a better price, whether it's a little better price, or we'll say, okay, we'll throw in free installation, or we'll take away the old dishwasher for free or whatever. It's worth haggling a little bit and asking him, give me something better, because there might be something better there.
You know, I'm showing my ignorance in this area, but it was almost like a revelation when you said, yeah, you're in the store, you're looking at something. Wait a minute, that doesn't seem right. You Google it and find it somewhere else while you're standing in the store, which of course doesn't take any time at all. And then you either go to the other place or go, hey, you, come here a minute. Look at this. Yeah. Yep. Can you match that price or beat it? Yeah.
Correct. And we just did the Consumerpedia podcast just came out today about the manipulative marketing tricks. And I hope folks can listen to it, consumerpedia.org. But the bottom line is, a lot of stores run fake sales. They put an item on sale.
Yeah.
And it's never not on sale, off sale. You know, so it's never at the real price. So you think you're getting 60, 70% off. You see the scratched out price, but you're not really getting a deal, because they never sell it at the original price. The only way to know if you're really getting a deal is to take a few seconds, search around, and see what other retailers are selling it for, and it may actually be at a better price. Even for a place like Amazon, you may find a better price from another retailer. You know, they don't have the lowest price on everything. People think that. That's not the case. If you're really interested in price, you got to take a little bit of time and just shop around. If it's something big, like interest rates on credit cards or auto insurance or home appliance, you know, that can save you a significant amount of money. It's worth 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour to shop around.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a break for news here in just a minute. Then we're going to continue on for another 30 minutes or so with Herb Weisbaum, the Consumer Man, as we head into the State of the Union address tonight at 8 o'clock. And where was I going with this? So we've done scamming. We've done smart shopping, and I believe next we're going to do complaining.
Yes, correct? How to complain and
how
get what
complain.
You want.
How
to complain properly, and then if you want, we're happy to take consumer calls near the end.
Indeed.
And answer any of your listeners' questions.
Yep, 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text, And you'll get some great advice from her. There's no question about that. He's been on numerous times. Every time, something good. And you hear from our listeners, which is makes me feel pretty darn good.
I do. They sign up for my newsletter at consumerman.com. And anybody who asks me a question says, I listen to Landecker, I answer the question.
Wow. What a service. 736 here at 720 WGN. John Landecker along with Herb Weisbaum, the Consumer Man. And bitch, not in the sense, well, there's a lot of different ways you can take that word. I'm taking it in the sense of bitching about something, complaining, because that's where we're at. Right, Herb?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure that's how Elton John made it.
No.
But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about griping.
Right. Yeah. Bitching, so to speak.
Yes. So the problem is that, first of all, the problem is that a lot of people don't complain. They just take it. You know, they had an unsatisfactory experience, and rather than taking the time or effort to complain, they simply just take it. And that's, and you shouldn't. You should stand up for your rights, especially if you were really harmed in some way, shape, or form. So you have to know how to do it right. And the key is start small and work up bigger. So if there's a problem like at a store, you know, go to the store, try to talk to the manager or somebody who can handle customer problems, explain the problem to them. Don't get all upset. Don't get all bent out of shape. Don't go, I hate your store, I'm never going to shop here again. Yeah. That way they don't want to help you at all. And tell them what happened and see if they'll help you. If that won't work, then see if there's some way you can go over their heads, such as to corporate, and contact corporate and say, I had a problem with this, and try to spell out to them what you think would be reasonable. You know, the washer machine doesn't work, and you guys have been telling me you're going to come and fix this for 6 weeks now, and I can't do my wash. I think you should either give me my money back or give me a new washing machine or have one delivered right away or whatever. You know, it's not that I couldn't get my wash done and you got to put my kids through college and buy my son a car, which is some people are ridiculous in the things that they're asking for. So be reasonable. If that doesn't work, then you got a couple options. One, possibly turn to social media. You know, these big companies all have teams that monitor social media because they don't want the word to get out to everybody. Where they may ignore an email and they may ignore a text and they may ignore a phone call, they may pay attention to social media. So if you call the national line and can't get anything from the customer service people, and the old advice, John, used to be ask them if you can escalate and go to a manager or something like that. The answer they're going to give you now is, I am the manager. There's no manager. I'm working from home, whatever. So if they can't help you, consider doing social media or consider getting an agency that could possibly help you. You may have the State Attorney General's office who may be able to do something. The Better Business Bureau tries to mediate between businesses and customers. And that's sort of the way to go. So those are the various things. And bottom line, if you still don't get any satisfaction, you could, A, go to small claims court. And you don't need a lawyer. You can go there and try to get some justification through justice through small claims court. Or if you paid with it by credit card, contact the credit card company and say, I bought this washing machine and it does not work. I want to challenge the charge. You can't do that, 9 years later. But if it was purchased within 60 days, 90 days, something like that, they will probably help you and do something and investigate. And that might get the attention of the business to help you out. So start slowly and work your way up and keep on going until you can escalate and get something potentially done.
What range of items are we talking about that you would complain about? I mean, you mentioned a washer, but what are some of the other things? I mean, what if the TV goes crazy, or how about the cable? Everybody's got cable or doesn't have cable or complains about cable or the internet or your automobile or things. Are those the kind of things that we also should complain about?
Absolutely. You know, if it's a regulated product, such as an airline or the cable company, they're all regulated. Contact the regulator. Your city, whatever, has a cable office. Contact them and file complaints. They get enough complaints, and that's how they, when the contract comes up again, they say, time out here. We got to change a couple of things. DOT collects complaints on the airlines, and they actually, when complaints started to get up about baggage and that kind of thing, if it's within their realm of regulation, they do that sort of thing. If it's a financial-related product, like a credit card or a bank or a mortgage, contact the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB.gov, one of the new regulatory agencies. They actually have a public complaint database. So you go, you do your thing, and then the business has 15 days to respond. And in some cases, and they can publish their response, but sometimes just the fact that you're on a federal government website will, again, get the attention of the people in charge. Another trick that sometimes works is you can write the president of some company. Go online, Google, find out the name of the president of the company, send that person a letter with the situation that's going on and maybe your documentation. Documentation is always good. Now, they're not going to do anything about it, but when it comes to the staff of the president's office, they're going to go, we got a problem here, you know, and send it down and say, the boss wants something done about this, and that's sometimes a way to get something done. In other cases, if it's a food product, I've known people who've complained. It happened to me years ago. I complained about, I don't know, it was mustard or something or whatever, and they sent a whole bunch of coupons, and you know, enough for like a year's free worth of mustard. I mean,
wait a minute.
In this day and age, you know,
what was wrong
with caviar? Because it'd be better to get a year's worth of caviar, but you know, mustard is one thing, but you know.
What was wrong with the mustard? Excuse me, what was wrong with the mustard?
I cannot remember, but that's just one of the things that I think people, you know, stand up and do that kind of thing. And businesses, if they care enough, and some don't care anymore. We just did the podcast before the podcast that came out just before this one, the Consumerpedia podcast, which was my favorite, episode 57 of all the ones I've done so far. What in the world happened to customer service? And we had people call in with their complaints. We talked to customer service experts. And I remember one of the callers said, you know, you get on these lines and you hold forever and they're playing like 16 notes and the music just repeats over and over and over. And she said, are they like, is this a Chinese water torture? Are they trying to make my head explode? And the guy who's the consumer expert said, customer service expert said, yeah, that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're hoping you'll hang up and get off the line. I mean, it's like, and that is a thing.
That's for real.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, the phone trees sound obnoxious, but they do that to get you to the right person. But these things, and I asked them, I said, how many times do you have to hear the recorded message, your call is very important to us, to realize it's not? Is it 12? Yeah. Is it 17? Is it 72? And there's technology that could help these companies. You know, they have some now, like my cable company. Press this button. We'll keep you in the queue. We'll call you back as soon as, you know, the next slot comes up. That stops all that aggravation factor. It shows that you care, you know. By the way, I just want to quickly mention, because I said Consumerpedia, for those folks who are listening who live in the Chicagoland area, we rate services, everything in the Chicagoland area. Doctors, veterinarians, plumbers, electricians, you name it. And it's only for members, but we're going to give you a Landecker special.
Oh, boy.
So if listeners go to checkbook.org/consumerpedia, you can get a 30-day free trial and get all the ratings you're looking for. There's no strings attached. We hope you'll like it and become a subscriber since we are a nonprofit. But this is one of those things. It's National Consumer Protection Week. Let's make this information available. So checkbook.org/consumerpedia, and you can go there and see what we do. And again, it's the ratings specifically for the Chicagoland area that you'll be able to get.
This may sound like an inane question, but how do you rate these people? Do you send out a bunch of folks? I mean,
we do two things. We do for some of the things about price surveys, we actually have a whole fleet of secret shoppers back in Washington, D.C. who make calls. And then in your area and in the other six cities we're in, we actually get ratings from people who live there. Subscribers get questionnaires, just like Consumer Reports does, and they tell us what they think about the various services in their area. The man who started us, who recently passed away, but our founder, Robert Krugoff, was actually on the board of Consumer Reports, and he said they rate the products. We should rate services. Nobody's rating services. So that's how he started this organization way back when.
The idea of using social media, that strikes me as being a very effective tool, simply because of the role that social media plays in everybody's life.
Yep.
And even when I go to purchase something and I'm doing it online, there's usually a star rating and then a comment section, right? So you can drop down and see what people are saying about the item that you're thinking of purchasing. And I think that's certainly a part of social media, because it allows the consumer to share, positive or negative, their experience with the item that you're talking about. I see it all the time.
The only problem with that is that a lot of these star ratings are bogus. They can be swayed. They hire companies overseas that do all these great ratings. So I'm sorry. I don't mean to be this, but you have to be. You have to be really careful and know how to read the reviews. If they're too glowing, if they are too repetitive, if they're right after one another, there's been a lot of problems with fake. But this is actually social media. Social media. So you go on your Twitter or Facebook or Instagram account and write this thing, and then make sure you tag the company. So you put at Coca-Cola or whatever. You put at, you know, LG TVs, so they get it. They see it. And the old rule used to be a happy person told four people. No, a happy person told four people, an unhappy person told 10 people. And now, of course, when you do social media, you tell a whole lot more than 10 people, and that's why they're paying attention to this.
And it is National Consumer Protection Week, and if you have a question, you can call or text at 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. In the meantime, hopefully we get some calls. But if we don't, Herb, I understand you have a little game up your sleeve, if you will.
Yes. We're going to play Herb's College of Consumer Knowledge.
Okay.
See how smart you are. You ready?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
All right. Question one. The organic label can help you make decisions about the food you buy, but it doesn't apply to everything. The term organic is meaningless if it's on a package of chicken, meat, eggs, or seafood.
Now, do I have one? Am I choosing one of those?
Yes, one of the above.
Can you run them by me, please, again?
Chicken, meat, eggs, or seafood?
Hmm.
You want a Jennings
seafood
lifeline?
I'll go seafood.
Yes. There is no such thing as organic fish.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay.
Right. Okay. I don't know why.
State or federal rules require some purchases to come with a cooling off period, giving you a little more time to cancel the transaction without any penalty. Okay. How long, Mr. Landecker, is the cooling off period when you buy a car? 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, or a month?
A month.
Trick question. There is no cooling off period. You want to buy a car, new or used. You sign the contract. It's yours. People need to know that. I've actually heard complaints from people 3 days later. I didn't think the color yellow was great with my complexion. Yeah. They won't take it back. That's right. You bought the car.
I was tricked, too. I thought it was 7 days.
So he's a trickster here.
All right.
Yeah,
Brendan, you can play, too. How long is the cooling off period when you switch cell phone carriers and sign up for a new cell phone service? 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, or there is no cooling off period?
I'm going to say seven.
I'm going to say there's none.
14. That's a federal law that started a couple years ago because people were afraid to change carriers, and that lets you do that. So that's really good. A lot of people don't know this, but when you buy an airline ticket, you can change your mind and get a full refund if you act quickly. How quickly? Is it within an hour of the purchase, within 6 hours, 24, or within a week?
24 is my guess.
Now, what are we going to do with this airline ticket? We're going to change flights, or what are we going to do?
Nope, you can get a full refund if you do it within this time frame. An hour, 6 hours, 24, or a week?
24.
You are both correct. That is correct. That's a regulation as well that went into effect a couple of years ago. No penalty. You can say, sorry, I changed my mind. I don't want to go. So there you go.
Did not know that.
A lot of products come with warranty cards that you fill out and send back to the manufacturer in the mail, or you might be able to register online. Here's the question, gentlemen. Do you need to register that product to get the warranty protection? Yes or no?
Yes.
Brendan?
He's taking a phone call.
Oh, okay. The answer is no.
No.
You don't have to do anything to get the warranty. Why you want to do that, John, is if the manufacturer has a recall, they'll be able to contact you right away. So that's the reason why you want to do that. But it does not affect your rights whatsoever.
Why do they ask you to register then?
Because if they have a recall, they can get you right away and let you know there's a recall. There's so many hundreds and hundreds of recalls, even I can't keep track of them. So that's why they do that.
Interesting. Right. Yeah, I'm learning. I'm wrong, but I'm learning.
Well, there are lots of ways to look for identity theft, such as credit monitoring, but there's only one thing you can do to prevent an identity thief from opening a bank account or credit card in your name. Do you know what it is? And we've talked about it before.
To prevent a thief from opening a card in your name.
A bank account or a credit card in your name.
Encrypted.
No, it's a credit freeze.
a credit freeze.
That's what you do with Experian, Equifax, or TransUnion. You go on their websites and you say, I want to freeze my credit report, which is something every single person listening should do, because once your credit report is frozen, it only takes about less than a minute to do, no one can do anything that requires them to get a credit check. They can't open a bank account. They can't open a credit card. They can't rent an apartment in your name. They can't get cell phone service or cable service in your name. And rent an apartment. Anything that requires a credit check is blocked because your credit files are frozen. And if you need to do something, like when I bought a car, I asked the credit manager which of the three bureaus you're going to check my credit. He told me. Went online, unfroze it. I did it for 48 hours. He did the credit check. It automatically froze again. I got the car, and that was it. So that's the best thing that you can do.
So what steps do you do to freeze and unfreeze these credit reports? I mean,
you just go to the big three credit agencies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, and you just look for, you say, security freeze or credit freeze, and then you just say, yes, I want to freeze my account. You don't want to lock it, which is a service they sell or provide that they want you to, just want to absolutely freeze your account. You will probably get a whole bunch of marketing stuff from these guys.
Gotcha.
And then all you have to do is unsubscribe, which is what I did when I did it, and then it stopped. But that's the best thing you can do to prevent this kind of fraud.
Amazing.
Want to keep going?
No, actually, we won't. I would love to, but we're going to run out of time. I was going to ask a question, but it's going to take too long to answer. Once again, Herb, how do we get your services?
Sure.
How do we sign up?
All my stories are on checkbook.org. You can also find me at consumerman.com, my personal website that has all the checkbook stories. And if you go there, you can sign up for my free weekly newsletter. And again, if you go to checkbook.org/consumerpedia, live in the Chicagoland area, you can get the reviews and ratings that we have for all kinds of services.